Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 16 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, coming to you from London, and with me, like the best friends I've got,
James Ross,
Bryn Munro,
Ben Meredith,
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you playing? My other best friends!
I'm playing Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, a knight and friend of the working man.
I'm just rolling out my backup character since I'm pretty sure I died in the last episode.
Who were you playing?
Hamid, dearly departed Hamid, a halfling sorcerer.
Zolf, who might be in a bit of stormy water with Poseidon.
Oh. Sasha, who is unconscious.
At the very least.
At the least.
Here's hoping you've got your limbs.
Could be dead.
Yeah. As we've discovered, a peg leg really isn't that big. No, it's pretty bad.
And imagine how bad two peg arms will be for a two-handed fighter.
Unless those pegs are Gatling guns.
That fire knives. Anyway, so last thing that happened, just to run through quickly everything that's happened with the episodes. The party was sent back down into Other London to chase what happened with the simulacrum. After a run-in with some of Sasha's old gang, they eventually managed to make their way to the compound of the people who had actually messed around with everything and blown things up and all that kind of thing. They managed to take out the guards with a cunning statue-based disguise and ambush, befriended a dog who is potentially not the best dog in the world. And then they infiltrated the compound, but accidentally set off a trap at the entrance, which alerted them. They came down, and then about 16 crits later, managed to take out the apparent spellcaster, one of the others, and Sasha, after an epic diplomacy role and really heartfelt speech and plea, allowed the last one to escape, who had no hand in the stuff to do with the simulacrum, on condition that he said where the things were. He told them a couple of interesting things.
I did not follow that advice.
One of which being, don't open the hut. So, obviously, everyone then proceeded to investigate various places. Sasha immediately went and opened the hut.
After I had taken the notebook and I'd given it to Zolf.
Very true. That would have been hilarious if you'd have buried it.
You didn't mention the mysterious idiot who appeared briefly to try and set fire to upper floors.
There may have been a fourth enemy.
That? I don't know who that might have been.
But the heroic Zolf
put
it out.
Thank goodness.
It's so good he was here. Otherwise, that fire would never have started.
In many ways, he's the fourth emergency service. Seventh, if you count Mountain Rescue, Coast Guard, and the other one that I've forgotten.
Traffic Wardens.
They're in many ways the sixth emergency service.
Sasha managed to open the hut only to have it literally explode in her face, blowing her backwards, knocking her out, apparently caving in a building on Hamid.
You described it as a hut entirely filled with gunpowder, as I recall. Barrels of
gunpowder. And alchemist fire hung precariously, deliberately over the top.
And to remind our readers, alchemist fire is effectively napalm.
So there was an enormous napalm-based explosion.
Oh, sticky fire.
So we will pick up from Zolf suddenly saying he'll chase after Sasha.
Yes. Cold open. Sasha! Tagging along.
Yep, Zolf, you head out. The first thing you see is fire has been thrown everywhere. And there's patches of bit on fire, patches of wall on fire. Coming around the corner, you see that the entire corner, which was in front of the hut, just blown out. The wall's gone. It's all flattened. Bits of hut are still raining down. You can't see the hut itself because it's still on the far side of the pile of rubble that is now the church. Did I mention the church is rubble? Because the church is rubble. It appears to have thankfully not fallen on you guys, but it's still very much just in pieces. Bits of it are still collapsing. There's maybe a hunk of wall left of the steeple, but it's been really heavily damaged. The vicarage apparently has also collapsed inwards on itself, and yeah, it's just totaled it, and there's bits of stone on fire with obviously that sort of sticky fire stuff. It's a proper train wreck of a place. If the train was full of fire!
Excellent. I continue to desperately go forward towards where the door was, and see if I can find Sasha.
So heading there, yeah, you make it closer, and there's a visible crater. The entire corner that is nearest to the Thames has just fallen away and has now just sort of collapsed downwards, so there's now a slope down to the water. There's bits of hut spread out all along it. You give me a perception check?
Not terrible. It is 14.
14, you see no sign of Sasha.
That is not
anywhere. You remain unconscious.
I will start running around where the door was and casting create water to try and start putting some of the fire out, see if I can unearth her body.
You manage to start putting out some of the fires. There's not a sign. There's no sign of Sasha there at all.
Should I be rolling for continuing to take damage?
What I'm doing is I'm going to deliberately keep what you're doing completely separate from this lot, and then we'll jump back and deal with what happened to you immediately after getting knocked.
Okay, so thinking logically, if there was an explosion and she was at the door, the second law of physics says she'll go the other way.
Yep.
So I'm going to start tracing a line back from where the door was to see if I can
give me another perception check.
That's much better, 23.
You find Sasha about 40 feet distant from the door. She's been blown through where the wall once was, and there's bits of wood embedded in it. You find her almost up to her neck in muck and filth and detritus and things, and you might want to give me a heel check on her.
Yes. Takes about 45 minutes for all those 40 feet.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, no, I'm not even going to bother. I'm casting Stabilize on her straight away.
Okay, that's fine. She is alive. You know she's alive.
Okay, I will then...
Oh, and she looks awful. Really bad.
I will then grab my holy symbol, which is the Driftwood Dolphin, and say, look, I know I haven't got you anything recently, but help me out here, and I will get you loads of really good sacrifice, okay? Just do it. And channel energy.
Okay.
So that means that I send out a wave of energy, 30 foot, positive energy, which will do 1d6 plus 1d6 for every two cleric levels, so I will do 1d6.
So give me the roll for the
Sure thing. 3.
Okay, so that's 3 plus...
3.
Just 3?
Yeah.
She remains unconscious.
Okay. I will Is she on fire?
She's not on fire.
Yay!
It appears that the majority of a door hit her and lodged in bits of her, but didn't actually... It shielded her from just being on fire and dead.
Okay.
Yay, but also boo!
Let's put it this way. There was 3 tiers to that reflex save. There was a worse tier.
All right.
I will do some actual medicine on her, or feeble triage, basically, and try and remove the worst of the sort of splinters in a safe way.
Give me a heal check.
Heal, not 20.
20, okay. I'm going to say it takes a while, so I'm going to jump to the other members of the party. We will start with Bertie. Zolf has just run off yelling, Sasha, Sasha, Sasha. You are remaining with a person and a dog, which is going...
Brutal!
The dog appears to be underneath a chunk of rubble and so on.
I lift the chunk of rubble off.
Yeah, the dog's there. It's conscious. It's got a little bit of a dicky leg. Oh. It kind of tries to stand and gives a little bit of a stumble. Tries to stand, and then it comes over and just licks your burnt armour.
Oh. Oh. Do I have to do a will save against how adorable
this is? I'm going to say that no will save you give will protect you from how adorable this is.
I have no ability to heal you whatsoever. I have a wounded dog. There's nothing I can do here.
Bertie has been completely stumped.
I know.
The dog gives a perception roll. Oh, and takes 10. By rolling a 10. It proceeds to limp slowly towards the vicarage, going...
Oh my goodness! Hammond! Hammond! Look at the vicarage. What does the vicarage look like?
It looks like it has pretty much caved in. The far wall hasn't exploded out the way the church did. But every other wall appears to have collapsed in and is up against it. At which point, rather interestingly, we're going to cut to Hamid. You haven't taken that much damage.
No.
You are able to move. You were in less than a 5-foot sort of square on the battle map, as it were.
That's okay. I only take up 3.
But yeah, you are very much like you're not crushed or anything.
No.
You got there by sheer luck, but yes. Nonetheless.
There's also, halflings are known to be lucky.
Yeah, you are.
I'm choking on all the dust that gets thrown up in rubble.
Do you give a cry out or anything like that?
I'm giving a weak cry.
Hello? Is anyone there?
You, Bertie, hear nothing. You don't even get a roll. No. Let us cut back to Zolf. You've managed to pack Sasha up. She is just still out of it. She's not bleeding, and there's not like hunks of thing. It doesn't look like she's going to suddenly like die on you, but she's still out of it.
I am rummaging around my pack. I pick out the healing potion that I have. Now I need to make a roll about feeding someone potions.
So for feeding someone potions, you can force feed one to people, and it takes a standard action.
I will do that.
Okay. In which case, then, give the requisite roll for how much it heals.
How much is that?
D8 plus 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put down those D6s, and I'll roll that D8. 6.
6? Sasha, congratulations, you become conscious on 1 hit point.
Ooh. Oh, thank goodness.
Okay.
You feel terrible. Your back hurts almost as much as your front, and slowly memory comes that you got blown backwards through the wall, which was a sort of a homemade kind of thing, a palisade, as it were. Yeah, you feel terrible.
Yeah, all right, don't try and move so much. Screaming will make it feel worse.
I can't feel worse.
it's actually physically impossible for your character to feel worse.
Trust me, I found you. You were definitely feeling worse. Better this than dead. Now,
I have
the worst bedside manner from all healers in the world ever.
I try and reach inside my coat one of the 3 cure light wound potions that I have.
I will spell something out both for yourself and for listeners. Mm. So this is where it gets a little bit more role play-y, in that technically speaking, mechanically, just being on 1 hit point, you still have all of your faculties, all of your abilities, and are still technically operating at 100% efficiency.
Right.
What I normally do is, it's really important that you do remain operating at 100% for the game mechanics. Mm. What I tend to say is role play it hard,
yeah,
and you're all right, and you tend to rule stuff like, you know, oh, with adrenaline that you just don't notice it until the events pass and then it hits you. So yeah, you're doing right by role playing it while you're at that one. Yeah. But mechanically, if you wanted to, this is where Pathfinder's a bit weird, but it needs it for the balance. You could get up and sprint.
Do backflips! Right. Do backflips!
Okay,
look, I'm going to roll a perception check for injury, see if there's anything else that's happened to
you. Sure.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, healing potions make you better, but they don't replace lots of bits. It's a terrible wound and things like that. So, perception is 15.
15, it would have come up in the heal check as well, but it's a fair point. Ooh, you know what you do notice? One of the fingers appears to have been maybe blown off.
Might have been some superficial damage. Let's just say not as bad as what I got, so that's a plus. All right, but you might be slightly lighter than you used to be.
What? I've lost a foot.
No.
What?
No.
What? No. Oh, I look down. I can see my feet. I'm like, oh my god, I've lost my feet. I think I can see my feet.
You've lost a finger. Okay.
It's not. Yeah. No. That's not new. That's fine.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. Can you walk?
I don't want to.
All right. Have you got any other healing potions to get you back on your feet?
Maybe.
I suggest
that's such an other London thing. I'm dying. Do you have any way of healing yourself? I was asking.
Well, I suggest you make use of it.
I chug one healing potion.
Sure. So again, that's a 1d8 plus. Which is just 1d8. Yeah, 1d8 plus 1.
Four.
Yep, so you're up to a formidable 5. So, Sasha is at least back in the game. Although her clothes don't get healed. There's holes. What was already tatty is now getting tatty by other London standards.
Yeah. Well, none of us are probably looking back.
You all look terrible. Oh,
we've
by the way,
exploded Zolf, at quite a
as
lot.
As you look up at Zolf, he's white from head to foot, and on closer inspection, it's just dust. Right. It's just rubble and dust from the church that collapsed. Like, feet from his face.
And I have managed throughout this entire encounter to take 0 damage.
Yes, which was impressive, let's put it that way.
I've done some really good reflex rolls on a 0 bonus.
Yeah, you got very lucky.
Fought on well, fine, reflex, just roll high.
But yeah, you guys are basically okay.
Yeah, can I use your trident as a stick to walk with?
No.
Wow, someone's RPing pretty hard as a Department of Work and Pensions.
No, it's right. my holy weapon.
So I
he can't risk annoying Poseidon even more. One more moment.
Yeah, right enough.
I walk incredibly slowly behind Sol.
We will cut back to Bertie. What are you doing?
At this point, I'm scouring through the rubble like a pallid.
I'm starting to recover and starting to shout a bit louder now.
Give me a strength check a perception check.
Okay, what
strength, you just roll a d20 and add your strength modifier.
Strength is 9 plus 3 is 12.
Okay, and perception?
19 minus 1 is 18.
Okay.
Oh my god, Bertie noticed something!
He's really trying hard, he cares
you know
about
gonna
you.
Do.
There's Wally!
Call me Wally!
I've been thinking about that puzzle for 20 years! Finally, it was there!
Sorry, you know what, I don't like to take command, but just for a little bit, showing for having for one moment genuine concern, I'd say you throw your helmet off, suddenly you can hear the cries. You just take the helmet off, you know, Hamid, where are you? Start digging through. You haven't found him yet, but you can hear Hamid crying, and the dog's just kind of snuffling where you're digging, and you're just digging where the dog is snuffling. Team! Where is Zolf and Sasha going?
We need to go back to the others.
I really want to go back in there.
No, we've got a hostage, we need to get them out.
If there's any consolation, there's barely an in at this point. It's mostly an out by now.
That feels like most of my body is like that as well. Organs everywhere.
There is, however, still an under, which is where I am.
It's true.
Yep, okay. So I'm just following you. Cool. My willpower was blown out of...
Is any consolation? The only person who heard that you shouldn't have gone in the hut was Hamid. Mm-hmm. And he's buried. If he dies, like, no one will know.
No one will know.
So, yay. You guys head back.
Head back, yeah.
Sure, you catch
the fire.
You catch Bertie
Now things are less urgent, I will be, because it's only a standard action to cast Create Water, so I will move 10 foot, cast Create Water, move 10 foot for time reasons, so like basically taking
you're just
my
putting stuff out
it.
As you can, yeah. So presumably Sasha gets there first, you re-enter the sort of area and you see Bertie frantically scraping and digging at a pile. Roleplay. Yeah. Oh, there's a dog.
Yeah. Hamid! Hamid! Oh, goodness, this is like finding a halfling in a haystack. Hamid! Hamid! Putting away the big chunks of... Can you hear me, tiny man?
Yes, yes, I'm okay. Thank you. I can't get out.
Right. Both then moves to exactly where the sand is coming from.
At which point Sash is there?
Yeah, I'm covered in bruises and blood, and I have minus one strength. There's not really... there's a token effort of me... holding small things and moving them very slightly away.
So just not saying anything, you wander up and start helping.
Crying with a question mark.
So give me one last strength check. You've managed to find Hamid, but there's like a bit of timber.
19 plus 3.
Yeah, sure. So it looks like...
You lift a giant piece of rubble as big as you are off Hamid.
There's a length of timber. There's a length of timber that's been holding the weight of most of the building. And you just see Hamid's face just poke out from underneath. And then, describe it to me. You have to lift the timber. You've succeeded.
Yeah.
So describe it to me.
Well, Bertie, of course, lifts with his knees on his back.
He's health and safety in the workplace.
He's never taken the red of an NVQ, but he knows it instinctively. He moves over. Bertie moves over to one end of the massive beam. Just kind of grasps it and goes, "Don't worry, tiny man. We'll have you out of there in a jiffy." And then just I'm putting way more drama into it. He's basically fine lifting it, but it's like, this is really heavy, guy.
As soon as there's enough space for me, I scamper out.
Yeah, sure.
Despite the clear being covered in dust and timber and rubble, I somehow look completely clean and not a hair is out of place.
Yes.
I wonder how that happened.
Under a building.
Help! Who can say? Could have happened any old time.
At which point we'll say so.
I immediately ask Sasha if she's okay because she looks in a bad way.
Fine. Where's the guy we came for?
I looked at Bertie.
You have looked better.
Right, that's not really relevant though, is it?
Well, I feel that someone should say it.
I walk past him towards where we had left the...
Sure. Zolf, you are caught up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha, you see a missing person and a trail leading out and round the side of the rubble.
Right, someone bigger is going first.
Right, Bertie marches off following the trail, assuming that he can see the trail.
I mean, I am getting quite close to wanting to drown him. Gotta say.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you basically cross around and there's just someone trying to crawl away. And I mean literally crawl.
Yeah.
And there's just a gouged bit of the mud and they're just...
Stand, put my foot down on whatever limb it is that they're extending to pull themselves along.
The real classic scenario, like the camera's behind the boot and you just poof.
Yep.
I said I surrendered.
And I've got some rope in my bag, so... oh, and if you haven't noticed, not theatre of war, so I don't care. I'm going to truss you up like a turkey and we're going to deliver you to the authorities.
I produce one of my seemingly infinite supply of handkerchiefs to gag him.
Yep. All right.
Shut up, or I will start cutting bits off.
I mean, intimidate check.
Got a minus one.
you just cut off as cuddly.
Yeah.
You say, shut up, or I'll cut bits off. And it reads as, "What would you like for Christmas?"
They shut up and raise a very quizzical eyebrow, which is, kind of a bit jammy from someone who's currently trussed up, gagged, and has been, without even helping their friends, already been taken out.
I will give them a glare that borders on the petulant, and continue to tie them up. Sure. Will you want me to make a sailor check?
Again, no, it's not worth the time. They're not.
But my sailor.
they're just not struggling.
That's fair.
Excellent knot work. Good.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody noticed.
That's really, really good.
Yeah, that'd take me like 15 minutes to get out.
Bertie.
Which is a compliment, actually. I mean, I've got quite a high esteem.
Bertie picks up the prisoner, just tosses him over the shoulder.
We need to get out of here before people turn up looking what the big explosion was about.
Seconded. I think we could all do with a little bit of a sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we could go back to Greg's tavern. That was quite a short walk. That was a long walk.
I think we should get straight to Upper London. Not with this guy.
Right.
Someone might come for him. There might be more gang members.
What's the best way to the surface?
Well, I've got the map, haven't I? From before.
Yeah, you
unless it has been torn up in the explosion, which is entirely...
You know what? I'm going to say that bits of it are missing, but you can still more than easily get you...
Right.
I mean, honestly, once you got here, Sasha's got the whole knowledge local thing. You've got a good memory for how you got here in the first place. So, yeah, you could get them back even without the map at this point.
Okay. It's this way. Right. I point, and it is a... I mean, I assume that we begin trudging. It is a long, slow trudge. Every step takes ages, and I whinge.
I am afraid you don't even make that far before. Perception rolls?
2 minus 1 is 1.
23.
Also 23.
Yeah!
Mine's 16.
Sure. To shake things up, everyone apart from Bertie...
The classic,
as the dog
as it will become known. Let's start calling it the usual, shall we?
Yeah.
The dog also rolls terribly. That's fine.
I love that this dog is, like...
It's Bertie.
I mean, if it had, from the beginning, been rolling crits, like, this is just... It could have been a completely different kind of dog.
The magic of roleplay.
Yeah, you learn to just accept the way the dice want the game to
wonderful.
Go.
Yeah.
My dog's got no nose. How does it smell? Near Bertie and barely then.
So, yeah, you guys are starting trudging back through the marsh, just back up towards the bit of other London you came from, at which point you see quite a large group of people are starting to crest the hill. They have a mobbish look to them. A couple of torches, like as in not electric, just flaming. And cudgels, things like that.
We're getting a Frankensteinian mob.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Although no pitchforks, because, you know, who can farm down
that's
here?
That's true.
Maybe a length of pipe. You know, another London pitchfork.
The urban pitchfork.
Urban pitchfork. A length of pipe and a scowl.
Like a big sort of fishing rod type thing with a really big hook on the end that they use to catch rats.
Yes. Yep. Mm. One of those, definitely.
To catch bats out of the air. Yeah, well, is there any chance of me just hiding at this point?
Yeah, you've got more than enough time. They're at the top of a hill. You're currently halfway through the marshy bit on the way back to the hill that you look down on.
Presumably as a mob, they're very obvious, and we as a small group are not obvious.
They're crested against the top. They're not trying to hide.
Yeah.
You are filthy, covered in mud. Beneath the mud, you're covered in dust. Unless Hamid took the time to press the digitate every single person. Even Hamid... Unless you've been going step, press the digitate, step, press the digitate, step, press the... Yeah. You're all...
I've started getting dirty again.
Yeah, yeah, you're all filthy, covered in mud, you're the same colour as the world around you, and heck, there's bits of, like, still bits of brickwork which you accidentally worked their way into Bertie's armour and thing. You don't even... You barely look person-shaped. Like, yeah, they're not seeing you.
I pull everyone into a sort of crevice under a rock, like if there's a... Like the sort of thing that we were hiding in 2 episodes back.
Sure, yeah.
Where there's sort of, you know, a
like
well
an
underneath. Yeah. And I try and pull them back there, and then I glug another of my potions in, which is, I think, a D8.
D8.
Right. Yeah. We're getting heated. Ooh, 8.
Hey. So 9 total.
Nice.
Right.
Okay, in which case, are you all trying to hide?
Yes.
Let's do a collective stealth roll, and I will have Sasha... aiding. Does that make sense? Because she's effectively the expert. So you guys are trying to hide and she's like, no, put that here, blah, 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 blah.
Also the dog.
The dog, you'll have to do your best.
All right.
Try and keep him quiet.
Okay.
So if... Who do you nominate to do your collective stealth roll?
Lydia.
Sasha.
Yeah, funny that. Go for it.
I was going to say, so armor check penalty. Does that apply to stealth?
Yes, but if you're completely stationary, it doesn't.
It's one of those things where when you're moving around and being stealthy,
you go
it's more
clank.
Of a factor.
Yeah.
Honestly, once you're being still and you're just trying to hide, the bonuses go. So for a person who's not moving, it's like +40. For a person who's not moving and is also trying really hard to be stealthy, it's like +8. It ramps enormously.
Oh, okay, sure.
Oh, I rolled a 2.
Let's say
obviously
that
being
plus, my,
we'll,
plus my sneak My stealth is 8, so it is 10.
We will blame everyone else for just being rubbish at hiding.
I'm pretty good at hiding.
I'm well hidden behind Bertie.
As a group, I'm afraid the roll was only a 10. Yeah. So yeah, the mob, they start sort of coming down, and then they start trudging past you, and it's clear that they don't seem to be looking for anyone. They're just beelining straight for the compound. However, one laggy person kind of sees something and just pops over to investigate, just breaking off from the main loop. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they get a sight of a peg leg. Just a peg leg poking out from an outcropping. Guys, he starts kind of walking closer, and the mob kind of start to peter out on their forward movement.
I tumble out of hiding and cast Charm Person.
Go for it. What's the DC to beat?
14.
14 to beat? It guys got... And they just kind of go a bit slack and start smiling.
Hey, it's good to see you again.
They kind of confuse and go, Hi.
How's it going?
Yeah. dead-eyed stare.
I think we should move.
I think we probably won't come with everyone. I'm just a bit tired and everything. I think I'm just going to head back. But you guys go ahead.
Right.
Don't let anything stop you.
Did you need a hand or anything?
No, okay. We'll be fine. that pause was me being like, ooh, maybe.
How far can I twist this?
Deciding it's safe to say no.
All right, well. Yeah, we'll be coming back this way.
Yeah, of course. Don't tell the others. It's better if they're focused.
It's like a prank.
On, yes, yes it is, yeah. Just keep everyone focused on getting down there. And, you know, not worth mentioning that a couple of us just heading back because of, you know, not feeling great. Good luck!
Taps his nose, then he goes, yeah. And then starts heading out towards the group. And the group who was starting to turn around, he goes, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. No pranks. And then just starts walking. Everyone looks a bit confused, and then they just carry on towards the compound with that guy behind. Occasionally, you just hear a very distant...
What's japes?
So, there you go.
Finally, the charm person worked. Everyone's been beating the DC up to now.
He was very close, actually. He rolled quite high anyway, but... Yeah. Man in mob Save is DC's not known just... for his yes. high will saves.
Save DCs just aren't very high in general, basically.
Yeah, that's because some of them exist, which is or die.
Yes. Time for a break, I think.
Oh, good point. So we'll leave it there and we'll come back in a couple of minutes.
Cool.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Oh, hi. It's great to see you again. Hamid, no, of course you remember. You're looking well. It is a new cravat. Thank you. Aren't you sweet to notice? Oh, you must come and join us in the forum sometime. You can find it through the website, rustyquill.com. Yeah, I think the red here tastes a bit corked, don't you think? Anyway, you can get all the backstage gossip, the behind-the-scenes info. Be great to chat to you some more.
Hamid, what are you talking to that greasy little oik for? It's your round.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, Bertie and Zolf and Sasha, they'll be there too. But anyway, it'd be lovely to talk to you some more. I'll hopefully see you soon.
Hamid, I shall have the bottom half of the list this time, I think.
Well, Mustache, nice to see you.
And welcome back. So, yeah, you guys successfully managed to avoid a mob. And what do you do now?
I want to hurry everyone towards the doors that I know lead to the stairs that will take us back up to the surface.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an option before we describe the journey. Mm-hmm. You've got two major options, Sasha. You can either try and get out the way that you came in. Mm-hmm. There is the main stairway, but it is guarded, and there is like a keeper of the stairs who keeps track of everyone who goes up mm-hmm. and comes down. Although, to mention it, a while ago, Haringey did mention that he put in a word with the stairwaymen to, you know, give you access. They're pretty much equally distant. It depends how you want to do it. But you would have to go through the racket territory both times.
Oh.
Under both circumstances?
Under both circumstances.
Okay. I think going back the way that we came to... Well, you didn't say the other option.
The other option is the main one with the keeper of the stairs and stuff, where you basically go through official channels.
We did get attacked the way we came.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for the main one, because it's less likely that Ashen is hanging around with a grudge.
No one. You know what, give me a knowledge local. Just to go a bit of other London politics.
18 oof. Plus
all of
eight.
The numbers, yeah.
So, yeah, 6, 4, 16, 26... Sasha has had a bad day.
Get off a case.
On the head.
God.
Yeah.
So you know that all of the gangs have. It's more of a forced ceasefire when it comes to the main area. Is no one wants to disturb the main entrance because a lot of goods and stuff get sent down and come up and so on. Mm-hmm. So it's this weird thing where people tried to have trouble and then Upper London kind of put their foot down and went, no, we're not going to come down, but this bit has to get left. Mm-hmm. So it became this weird kind of halfway house once you're down the stairs where no one really tries to cause trouble. Mm. And the trade-off is that the policemen who do have a very small presence there don't really pursue anyone out of that area. Mm. It's kind of, like I said, it's sort of like a hub that no one tries to mess with. So yeah, let's skip ahead. You guys make your way back through, making it through this bit of territory. It's quite empty compared to before. Obviously, it's later, but also a huge number of people have just gone past in a mob. So yeah, you don't really run into any people.
I go up to the one remaining guy at a jellied eel stand, an eel, salted eel stand, and I am significantly cheerier after having an eel.
Right then, you get yourself a good eel, which both me and Lydia knows really actually nice.
I buy an eel for Brutal. Because he helped dig me out.
Oh, yeah, Brutal's been quite slow. He's still got a little bit of a limp going on.
Can we heal Brutal at some point?
We can do, but I'm out.
All right, fair enough.
I'm out of magical help.
All right.
So, yeah, he's just like... Mm. You get him healed.
I'm carrying Brutal. Oh, no, I also carry the hostage.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm carrying both of them.
Aw. So there's Bertie tromping along with a hostage over one shoulder, Brutal over the other, looking across, making to lick his face... then stopping because Bertie taught him a lesson about licking enemies. Yeah, you're just stopping along. At some point, yeah, you feed Bruto a bit of eel. Yeah. He likes you. Look your face. And yeah. Does that thing where he keeps licking his nose over and over. That's going to be the most horrible editing I ever have to do for that.
Yeah. Don't edit that. Leave it in. I think our listenership needs to hear that. Needs to hear me RPing a hellily salivating dog eating an eel and then licking his own face.
Fair enough.
I don't know whether to turn the timer off or not.
That's what makes us a unique and special podcast.
It's what the people want.
Wait, so our USP is sloppy noises.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, keeping it going. You guys carry on through the territory. You start heading into racket territory. Mm-hmm. You get watched by a lot of eyes. Mm-hmm. No one passes judgment. I'll go ahead and take a stab in the dark and say Sasha tries to skirt the town hall as far as possible. Really.
Yep, we go slightly further because we are going around the edge of, say, the territory.
Sure. Give me a perception check, Sasha.
Oh, 19.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
You notice at some point that Ashen starts to follow you, but not for very long before another person who was following you, who you also kind of notice, just steps out of a doorway into his way, and then he just gives the most evil he can possibly summon over a long distance.
Mm.
And you guys, just leave him behind.
Yeah. So, completely oblivious to all of this, isn't this a longer way around? Couldn't we just go...
Well, I was thinking of avoiding the people that, you know, took us hostage before.
They said they have no protection.
Yeah, and they're not the most trustworthy people. And it's not like it is.
I'm sure Shash is taking the safest route.
Right, fine.
Okay, you guys, yeah, carry on through the racket territory. You make it into the more commercial areas, which feel a bit more familiar. And you're not heading to the wholesale market, though. As you start heading through...
Watch out for pickpockets, guys. Yeah. We've got protection, but that does not include your pockets.
Interestingly, it seems that once you're carrying a person over your shoulder, people are less inclined to cause trouble rather than more. It's weird. It's almost like when you're... And presumably none of you are now being subtle about weapons. You're like, I don't care. Don't care. Yeah.
I have exactly the same number of weapons as before.
Yeah, people are keeping their distance this time.
The thing is, it wouldn't be too unusual a sight down there.
That's the thing. Now you all look like mess.
We are completely filthy. Like, I've got chunks... Like, that whilst healed, like, I'm guessing, is there a trait for picking up scars? Like,
What tends to happen, actually, so here's a good one, is there are a few rules regarding missing body parts and things like that. I tend to institute a rule, which I quite like, which is any time you are knocked below zero, you get a scar.
Yeah. Oh, the Fable method.
Yeah, I like it. Yes. I think it's good. It gives you characters some kind of proper history. Yep. So you know what? I'll let you choose. You've gained a scar. That will be permanent. What kind of scar is it? Where would you like it?
How big are we talking? Because if it's a small one, then I might have it like through the eyebrow.
It's going to be fairly large, like hand span large, because that was an enormous explosion in your face. So it'll probably be on the front half of you.
Yeah, it is. So shoulder to neck. You can see if she's wearing a jacket that there is the beginning of like a burn. Sure. That is at the side of her neck and going down. But most of it while she's wearing a jacket is sort of... But
yeah, I get you.
You can see... Like from the side of the jaw corner, kind of down there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Scar.
Sure. So you guys carry on and you make it to the central hub. As you get closer and closer, it becomes readily apparent that the most well-off merchants in Other London are obviously placing themselves here. Eventually, you actually see in the distance a guard, like an actual town guard, what you recognise as an Upper London town guard, with a scowl on his face and seems to be stood beside. What looks like a freight elevator of some kind. And yeah, people are giving him a wide berth, and you guys are on a street. It's fairly busy, but no one's even batting an eyelid at you guys anymore. No one recognises you as Other anymore. Or better yet, they do recognise you as Other. Other London, that is. I'm not good at humor.
It's okay, we're good.
We head straight up to the guard.
Yeah. We sound as tired as our characters.
Move along.
I'm going up.
All right. Give me your papers.
You don't have them, but you can talk to Sergeant Arrogate about that.
You mentioned he just pulls the...
Now that we're heading out of Other London, I will clean up everyone a bit if they allow me to.
Sure. Even with prestidigitation? Does everyone allow you, by the way?
Yeah, I do.
I flinch a bit, so maybe it doesn't work quite as much.
Sure.
But, yeah.
It's tidying, it's very much cosmetic rather than...
Yeah, but that's like the first time that I sort of realised that there's a big burn down my neck.
Yeah, yeah. And the dog, when you come near, having seen other people get clean, is like...
I'll clean the dog, too.
What colour does he turn out to be under all the mop?
White.
As the driven snow.
It's mostly a like a hazel brown with mottled darker patches.
So he looks like he's still covered in mud.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, you presumably head into the elevator or the lift. Mm-hmm. Head in, he closes the trellis, pulls the thing. It's slow, like super, super slow.
So how much was this going to be for us all?
Quite a lot.
Wonder where you could go on quite a lot.
It depends whether or not he considers the job finished. That's why I don't like taking conditional contracts, but we didn't really have much of a choice.
We got, like, the notebook, we got the guy. Like, it can torture out whatever we don't have.
Yeah.
Can I have a look at the notebook?
Yes. There you go.
I look through it, see what I can figure out.
You see a couple of passages that are written in magical script.
I cast Read Magic.
Oh, yay! Yay! Thank goodness you picked that skill.
I mutter just gently to myself, I could never get that spell to work before.
Sure.
And then just accept it.
So, as with Sasha, how long are you going to spend reading it?
The entire lift journey at the very least.
Right, so yeah, you're reading through it and you see that some of the stuff is in arcane, some of it's not, and what Sasha will have seen is sort of gobbledygook. Once you have the read magic stuff part of it, it seems like he swaps, whoever wrote it, presumably Edison, swaps freely between magical script and non-magical script, just as if he was bilingual. In fact, you notice some other languages in there as well. Portions of it seem to be a diary of some kind, day 67, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It seems to be split into about six broad sections. And looking at some of the sort of technical designs, let's say, Sasha, you're looking a bit over the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Like, the technical designs seem broadly independent per those sections. So on one of the sections, there's a lot of drawings of, like, you know, like a nervous system? Mm-hmm. A lot of sketches of that and stuff like that. And then on another one, there's sort of a few more sketches to do with, like, a human skeleton and things like that, and then a skeleton for, like, a massive orc and things like that. It's very piecemeal. It's clearly no coherency to it. And you notice, reading through it, there's this weird thing where he gives equal weight to, I bought an ice cream at this little place in Paris. Absolutely lovely. Definitely going to meet Francois again or whatever. Things that you notice are, in the first section, there's a lot to do with this guy called Francois, Francois-Henri. He seems to spend a lot of time with them. You just see the name a lot. You don't go into huge amounts of depth because it's, you know, it's a sizable notebook. Mm-hmm. On another one, you see that there's a lot of dedication on, like, the place of Prague. Like, a lot of talking about Prague. Loves mm-hmm. the Prague architecture, apparently. Stuff like that. And there's a key taped to one. You know what? Give me a perception check, all of you.
I have a total of 16.
21.
24.
20.
Hamid, you recognise a safety deposit box key.
Mm.
There's basically
a
number.
I use my skill, recognise plot hook.
Yeah, there's a number printed on it, but you would have to consult records to actually trace a safety deposit box rather than just know, box 3269444, that's an Antarctica bank. Also, you again encounter that origami swan, and while examining it, you find that written on it is just a little phrase that says, for teaching me not to forget my culture. A bit weird.
Yeah.
But that's written on the actual swan. There's that shard of metal that Sasha saw, and then...
What type of metal is it?
It's the same as was on the simulacrum.
Yes.
You would have to give me an appraise check to recognise it at a glance. It's non-magical. The actual metal appears non-magical.
I can do that appraise check.
You already did and didn't recognise it, so I couldn't get you to do another. And then, last but not least, you see on the very, very back page, effectively the words of, and I guess this is it. And there's just a sort of a seed, maybe the size of an index finger, quite a large seed, quite flattened. And it has it's weird in that it has a metallic sheen, but appears to be an actual seed. It doesn't look like someone made a seed out of metal. Mm. It is a seed that appears to have it's like the sheen of petrol, say, or something like that. And yeah, it's a lot of sketches to do with the simulacrum and anecdotal, I met this guy. This guy's been really useful for blah, but not actually going into any real depth regarding it.
Like, he did say the guy on the roof, he did say that there were blueprints too, but
someone
they
left.
They were gone, yeah.
The fourth person we were told about, Jeremy.
Well, I'm guessing that this guy, prodding the still unconscious...
He's not unconscious, he's just gagged and still because he's tired of Bertie occasionally just shaking his shoulder to shut him up.
Whoopsie! Wobble!
I'm guessing that guy will be able to tell us.
Okay, so the elevator sort of clanks up to a stop and it opens into an actual building. It's not a very large, very unglamorous foyer. There appears to be large... sort of double doors at the other end. You know the sort of foldy metal ones that you get for freight and things like that? And there's just a person behind a counter, behind a glass counter to one side. The guard comes over, just mutters something. He just pushes over some paperwork for you to sign. And you guys head on. Are you heading straight to Central?
Yep. Yes.
I don't know, maybe swim by Hammett's for a bit.
Yeah, just chill out a bit. Would you like a drink? Oh, you've got a gag in that spot.
So, you head through the city. And now you start drawing a lot of attention from people. Most of the attention's on Bertie with a person trussed over one shoulder and a dog happily bouncing along on the other. You seem to be a curiosity, like no one's yelling things or anything like that. But
don't mind us, official police business, carry on, carry on.
Give me a perception check, Bertie.
19 minus 1 is 18.
Wow.
You see from a balcony a couple of gnomes sort of just lean over, make a point of allowing you to see them. Give a nod and then sip some tea and you just carry on walking.
These gnomes have been in the background a lot. My skills of sense plot hook is just going wild over here.
Your spidey sense tingling, yes. Reverend. That's fine. So, yeah, you keep going and then you make it to Central. You head up the front steps. Hi, can I... Oh.
Yeah, we're in Sierra Gate.
Yep, that's Zulf and...
Party, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. He disappears off. You hear a... What? Harringay pokes his head out.
We got him.
I think I love you, Zulf.
Not appropriate. Let's get on with the conversation.
Here, now. He opens his office door as before.
Just before we enter, I am just going to quickly mutter low enough... for only these guys to hear, not Harringay inside the office, is don't mention the notebook.
What? Let's go in.
Okay, he opens the door.
Put him down.
Bertie
drops the prisoner next to a chair, just straight on the floor,
yep.
But very deliberately not in the chair.
Mm-hmm. As you're doing that, Harringay is literally bodily swept all the paperwork off his desk again, pushed his desk up against the back wall, and has gone out, looked both left and right, closed the door, pushed his chairs to the side, and ignores the person that you've caught, gives it a glance, and then turns to you guys. Right, who saw you bring him here?
Like half the town.
Upper London.
And most of other.
Right. 5 minutes.
He opens the door, steps out, and closes the door behind him.
What was that about then?
I have no idea.
What is this about the notebook?
I'm starting to get a bad feeling about this. I think we should probably keep that under our hats. We did what he asked. He wanted us to bring the perpetrators. That's it. That's
right. The notebook doesn't have very much about the simulacrum in it, but I think there's some other things in there that are a bit strange. I think it might be worth us just finding them out by ourselves.
Bertie undoes the gag of the prisoner and says, "You there, young man! Why would the sergeant care who saw us bring you here?"
As you undo the gag, the moustache comes away with the hanky that you pushed in.
What does that mean?
you react in character,
It was
boy.
A fake moustache.
There was a fake moustache.
A fake moustache? A fake moustache? You, young man, you should just wait until your body is ready.
Can I perception check?
You can give me a perception check to better examine the person.
Oh, I got 20. I see her soul! So, I know what she had for breakfast!
So with the moustache removed, it's like, Sasha's like, oh, I should... Let's say that Sasha gets out of her headspace. Obviously, she's been kind of like a lot of dwelling. And...
I almost got blown up.
I did get blown up.
Yes.
Just survived it.
So yeah, you just can't... Sasha managed to get herself sort of out of that zone. It's like, oh, well, that's obviously it. Reaches out, pulls the goatee off, and then proceeds to pull the hair, which is just a wig.
Oh,
falls
right.
away. It's a good quality wig, like a really high quality wig.
Okay.
And it reveals what is, to you at least, very clearly a woman who has certain sort of androgynous-esque features, but with blonde-ish hair, kind of dirty blonde hair, right. Tied up, not long, just shortish dirty blonde hair beneath the wig.
Right. All right, you are not called Guy. I mean, if you are, like, that is... That is unoriginal. who are you?
She just looks at all of you. And I think we'll end it there.
No!
Oh, I love the ability to just stretch it and make all of you hate me.
Oh, you're a terrible person.
It's delicious.
We should have one more episode to go before the end of the day, right? We get to hear what's next.
Oh, yeah, we get the wonderful thing that we know what's
You've
got
to wait a week! Ha ha! We're only doing this because we dislike you all personally. Just
swapping from one moment personal praise and hat advice. Yeah. Oh, James's love is fickle. He's a capricious, capricious player.
Oh yeah,
like the wind.
Ooh, flowing one way, flowing another, and then going like, ah, the wind. Oh.
I'm going away from you now. So I find you unappealing. And then coming back. And yeah, Mingy learns.
I'm just going to make a thread on the forum, which is nothing but spoilers.
And I will find someone to shut that down. Anyway, while me and Bryn have a bit of a talking to, I think we'll call it there, and then we'll see you again next week.
Bye, guys.
Catch you later.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
That's fine. And Bryn?
I think the best way to avoid Alex using this in the outtakes is to f***ing swear a lot. Because then he can't put it in the f***ing recording.
Oh,
so if I just f***ed every so often, there's no chance of me ending up in the outtake.
Oh, dear. When you were talking about jellied seal, I missed the opportunity, but I did really want to ask, does it taste like a kiss from a rose?
Ah! Oh, that was bottled up inside me.
Maybe the first blooper that I'm going to quietly take from this episode and shunt into the last one.
Oh, dear.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.